imagery that you've ever seen. If you read the book of Revelation and you think about the book of Revelation and you start seeing these imageries in your mind, it's worse than any horror movie you've ever seen. Amen. I'm just telling you, we're in the midst, as we're reading this, we're in the midst of the seven trumpet judgment. The first four trumpets have sounded, and they brought forth horrible scenes of death and destruction. And I thought about it today as just thinking about, after I got some studying, and the first of these things that's happened on earth up to this point, we could almost, Jackie, almost say that it was like a natural disaster. But now we got something supernatural going on. Now we got something that's getting ready to be unleashed upon mankind like never before. Chapter 8 closes with the angel flying through heaven and pronouncing the woes upon the inhabitants of the earth. The angel knows that the plagues that is getting ready to come is going to be worse than anything. So why did God write about such tragedy and death and suffering in the book of Revelation? All this is just the introduction. These things are mentioned so that the church will know what we've been saved from. Amen. If you want a reason to shout tonight and be happy, just shout and thank God that you're not going to have to go through this. It's also Jesus wants the lost to know what they're going to face if they don't trust in him. Also, it's given to those of us that we might have a better understanding and we might have a more urgency to witness to the lost and dying world. We're living in a day where the subject of hell is laughed at. We're living in a day where the subject of hell is never hardly preached in churches. We're living in a day where people want to joke about hell. They don't believe that hell is a literal place, but I'm just going to tell you, there are real people in hell right now suffering the torments that the Bible talks about. So let's get into the chapter 9. It was a horrible personality. Look at verse 1. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven to the earth, and to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. Now, in my opinion, this is a description of Satan himself. We look at it as he is a famous personality. He is called a star. Some commentators want to talk about, spiritualize this as the passage of being the star of Revelation chapter 8. I believe a star, I don't believe this is a star or a comet. I believe this is a literal being. I believe this is Satan himself. He's the one that's going to unlock the bottomless pit, and we'll get into that in just a little bit. We think about celebrities, and we think about all when we talk about stars, but you got to understand something. This personality that we're talking about tonight, he's known in heaven, he's known in the earth, and he's known under the earth. He's known all over. It don't take you long watching TV. It don't take you long looking at some of the movies and looking at YouTube. Where you can, if you know what you're looking for, you can pick out certain, Benji, you can pick out symbols and certain things that's satanic if you know what you're looking for. People are just eating this stuff up now, and the devil's got a name. His name is Lucifer. Amen? Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 says this, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations?" The word Lucifer there, it means brilliant star or light bearer. So that's where we get the name Lucifer from. He is not only a fallen personality. Look at the word fall. And I had to slow down when I was studying this today. I wasn't very good in English. I didn't like English. My wife quizzes me all the time on English, and I never get it right. I barely can talk English, amen? But listen to this. The word fall is a perfect tense verb. That means it refers to something that took place in the past which still has a present result. Satan was cast out of heaven. He came down like a star, just like what we read in verse 1. He came down like a star. So we're dealing with a fallen personality. Let me go back and read Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 through 17. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregations in the side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet shalt thou be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? He fell because he wanted to overthrow God. Now get a picture, and we understand, and I'm not going to get off on the archangels, but we know there's angels mentioned in the Bible. We have Michael, we have Gabriel, but another angel that's mentioned in the Bible that was even with them or above them is Lucifer. He was an archangel. And imagine a created being. See, our minds cannot comprehend this. Imagine a created being that was made so beautiful that he decided he wants to take over heaven. I want to be worshipped. That's what his problem was. All right, let me read Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 13. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Amen. Genesis chapter 1 through verse 3. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the oxy, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, the gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in the day thou wast created. In other words, this was one of the most beautiful beings that you could ever look on. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked upon up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence. Thou hast sinned. Therefore will I cast thee out, profane, out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherubim, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquity, and by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee. I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all that behold thee. And they will know that thee, and they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. Pride was found in him, and that is the, we talked about this a little bit in the Bible Institute Monday night. This is the basic foundation of all sin, pride. The thing that caused Satan to fall is the same thing that brings down men and women. Pride. Pride will cause you to think you're good enough without God. Pride will cause you to think you don't need God. Pride will cause you to think that, hey, I'm doing good. I don't need to listen to that preacher. I'm living my life the way I want to live my life. I don't have to worry about God. Oh, yeah, you're going to worry about God one day. Pride will take you to hell. Now, look, he's a fearsome personality. This famous fallen figure is given the key to the bottomless pit. Verse 2, and he opened up the bottomless pit, and there arose smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by the reason of the smoke of the pit. Understand something. I don't want you to raise your hand, but I'm going to ask the question right now. Don't raise your hand. How many believe in demons? Let me go ahead and tell you something. If Jesus fought demons in the New Testament, and Peter fought demons in the New Testament, and the Apostle Paul fought demons in the New Testament, guess what? They're still here. Amen? They are still here. Now, imagine this. And I say this a lot. And Preacher Jack Lasseter, God rest his soul, was the first one. He said, you know, we fight them Barney Fife type angels. Amen. And we and Benji, we ain't no we can't handle the little Barney Fife type angel demon. And I'm trying not to get ahead of myself. But Satan is given the key to the bottomless pit. And without trying to get ahead of myself, I'm going to say this. There's going to be demons that come out of that pit like the world ain't never seen. If the ones you and I are fighting, the demons you and I fight every day, and right now the worst demon in the world, if we're going to compare to Barney Fife, when they open up that pit, we're going to have the Hulk coming out. It's going to be bad. Now let me back up just a little bit. Satan is a real personality. It's just like we talk about demons. Satan is real. Satan does not run around with a red suit and pitchforks. He's not worried about all. That's not what Satan is. The Bible says he's an angel of light. In other words, if he fooled Eve in the garden, he can fool you. Amen. Satan is a real personality. And let me admit why I'm got it. Satan has never been in hell. We always picture Satan in hell sitting around fire. That's not where Satan at. He is, the Bible says that he is in our atmosphere right here. And he's after you. And he's after me. And he's after the church. He ain't in hell now, but Revelation 20 says he's going to be there one day. Amen. And when he goes to hell, he is going to hell as a prisoner. He is not going to go to hell and rule in hell like a lot of people claim. I've heard stupid people say this. And people say, well, that's kind of rude, preacher. Well, I don't care. If you say something like this, you stupid. Amen. I've heard people say this. Oh, I'm just going to live for the devil down here, and when I die, we're going to have a party in hell. No, you ain't. You're going to be suffering just like Satan's going to be suffering. But he is a real personality. Satan does have power, amen? Like I said, you and I cannot handle Satan. Satan, the Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, seeketh whom he may devour. And I'm telling you right now, the only way you and I can fight him is with the word of God. Personality. Now let's look at this horrible place we're talking about. Verse 2 talks about being the bottomless pit being opened up. It's a deep place. The Bible says it's bottomless pit. A bottomless pit. The word bottomless is where we get our word the abyss. Amen? It's literally, what it's talking about, this is literally opening up the shaft that leads to hell. That's what this is talking about. Like I said, there's going to be demons that's unleashed on this earth, like this earth. The Bible talks about that they've been, that 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, for if God spared not the angels that sin. Now listen how this reads. For if God spared not the angels that sin, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Jude chapter 1, verse 6, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, hath he reserved in everlasting chains under the darkness, under the judgment of the great day. I'm telling you, folks, there are going to be demons unleashed during the tribulation period like this world's never seen. It's a dark place, and it causes darkness. When the smoke comes out, the Bible says that the sun's going to be darkened. And what amazes me when you study and you read about hell, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 8, verse 12, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness, so as you shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There is a place of fire, but it's a place of darkness. In other words, the fire is not going to be lighting that place up. If you go there, it's going to be outer darkness. It's going to be an awful, awful place. Now let's look at the plague that's going to follow. Verse 3 through verse 12. The demons are going to be released. It's been reserved unto judgment. Let me just put it to you this way. Imagine if every prison in the world, somebody hit a button tonight and all the gates and all the prisons were opened. And all these murderers and rapists and all these child molesters and all these killers and serial killers were unleashed back into the public. Now you kind of get a picture in the spirit world of what I'm talking about. when the worst of the worst is unleashed. Hell's prison is going to be open. Now, they are described as locusts, but these are not insects. Understand that. The description is probably talking about more of their greatness, of their number. And in 1889, one swarm of locusts covered over 2,000 square miles. The Bible describes them as locusts. Why are they not insects? Because number one, verse 4 says they will not be harming the plant life. We know that locusts or grasshoppers, they eat, and they eat the plant life. And the Bible says they are here to torment the human population. Now, when a scorpion, I studied this out a little bit today. When a scorpion must, I've always, you know, we don't, as far as I know, I've never seen a scorpion. I know you go out in some of the drier places, you see those little scorpions with the tails. And my thing was that I'm scared to death of rattlesnakes. I'm scared to death of anything that's going to bite me. Amen. But a scorpion has the power to sting you. And it will inject the venom in you. And it is very, very painful. But most of the time it won't kill you. And the Bible talks about how they're going to torment human beings for 5 months. Now notice the next thing the Bible talks about this. It says they have a king over them. Locusts don't do that. This king that's over them is Satan. It's Satan. Now the power they possess, they're going to be able to sting. What amazes me, they're going to be unleashed on the whole world. But those that's got the seal of God on them, they can't touch. Somebody ought to shout right there. Amen. Y'all remember the story in Job chapter 1 when Satan comes before God and Satan says, hey, God says, where you been? What you been doing? Satan says, I've been roaming up and down, to and fro. And God said, have you considered my servant Job? He said, yeah, but you got a hedge around him. Glory to God. If you covered by the blood right now, you got a hedge around you. And there ain't a demon in hell that can mess with you unless God allows it. The 144,000 and all those that get saved during the tribulation period, them locusts, I can just see it now, Jackie, that them locusts with them scorpion tails are going to come up to them, but they can't touch them. And they're going to turn right around and grab somebody else. The Bible says in verse 6, and in those days shall men seek death, and they shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. There ain't going to be no doctor to help. There ain't going to be no pills to help. And they'll be trying to commit suicide and can't. Now let's just kind of look at what we're talking about. Verse 7, these locusts are look like horses prepared for battle. In other words, they're geared up, prepared for battle. Verse 7 talks about golden crowns on their head. That means they come to earth to conquer. They are coming to conquer, and they're going to do it. They're going to do it because they got a king. The Bible says in verse 7, they got a face like a man. This speaks of their intelligence. When the Bible's talking about men, it's talking about intelligence. It talks about hair like a woman. Now, some say it just had long hair. Some scholars talked about how this might be about like the mane of a horse. We don't know. Even some scholars went so far to say they might be even effeminate because like the Bible talks about a woman with her hair. But I'm just telling you, I just believe this is going to be some kind of long mane that's on this thing that's going to just flow when it's moving because it's a conquering army. Verse 8 says the teeth like a lion. In other words, their bite's going to be infectious and painful. Verse 9 says they have a breastplate of iron. In other words, they're going to be invulnerable to attack. You cannot kill it. Imagine people in the military opening up with machine guns and it just bouncing off. Kind of brings to mind some of them horror movies we've seen before. Folks, it's going to be bad. But verse 9 says they have wings that sound like chariots. This talks about how swift they're going to be, and they're going to be so fast there won't be no escape. Verse 10 talks about strings on the stingers on their tail to inflict pain. Verse 11 said they have a king over them. In other words, they're going to be organized and united in their attack. The Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek term, the name Apollyon, this is the name for Satan, the destroyer. That's where we get that name from. Now, some people will listen to this sermon tonight, and they'll say something to the effect, oh, that's just old-fashioned. I'm going to be honest with you. Brother Barry's been in church a long time. Brother Ralph and Miss Alice have been in church a long time. They've heard this preached many times. I remember as a little boy back in the 70s listening to preachers preach this right here. Oh, that's just old-fashioned, preacher. People don't really believe that. It don't matter what you believe. And it don't matter what your opinion is. I'm just telling you, this is the Bible. And this is going to happen, amen? Now listen to this. When the bubonic plague hit, was ravaging Europe during the Middle Ages, men tried every way they could think to cure the disease. They came to believe that the plague was caused by clean, fresh air. Now listen to this. So they plugged up their chimneys. They burned devastating things in their fireplace. They sat in smoke-filled houses believing that they were going to be all right. Whole cities were clothed in foul-smelling, putrid smoke. And they would fire cannons regularly to try to blow away the fresh air. If you'd walked in one of those towns and the people that was, if you walked in one of them towns and told them, listen, what's killing you is an invisible parasite that you can't see. They'd have told you crazy. Listen, you don't have to go back but 100, 150 years to realize people didn't believe that. And now what we know as parasites, what we know as germs that you cannot see, we know that can kill you. Amen? Amen. That's what this is talking about, these demonic forces that's working right now. Let me tell you something, folks. The unseen world is more real than the seen world. What's going on around us in the unseen spiritual realm is a lot more real than what's going on at your house right now. Because the Bible says that everything we see right now is going to fall. Everything we see is going to be changed. So what we need to do is realize that this Bible's real. We need to realize that this is the Word of God. And everything about it's true. And everything about it's real. And no matter what, and no matter if I'm preaching old-fashioned, that ain't got nothing to do with this Bible. Preaching is preaching, and the Bible is the Bible. The Word of God will not change. It's not going to change for me. It's not going to change for you. And the thing about it is we're just getting started in the midst of the tribulation period in chapter 9. It's going to get worse. There were demons in the Bible. Jesus cast out demons. Paul cast out demons. Let me go ahead and tell you something, folks. There's demons right now working in our lives. Talk with somebody today that's battling something. And they want me to meet with them and pray. And I'm not saying they have a demon. I'm just saying that sometimes you just got to suck it up and blame yourself. Amen. We can't blame everything on the devil. You know, we can't do like Flip Wilson and say the devil made me do it. Sometimes it's our stupidity that does something. But I'm just telling you, folks, this Bible's real. And the best thing you can do tonight is make sure you ain't there when this happens. Make sure you're ready to go when the church is called out. Amen. I want you to bow your heads with me.